reading to you from the 21st chapter of Revelation, and with the 6th verse, he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Boy, folks, be sure and pray for us. My wife, she went down, they put her on a heart monitor. They think they're going to have to operate. They're not sure what's going on. But I want you to pray for her. Pray for me. We've got 3 services in the jail, in the prison, this Sunday. I've got a formal wedding to do Saturday, and I've got, pray for me. I'm so glad that God can use me. I hope he continues. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or cup of coffee. Let's see if the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter and the 13th verse. Brethren, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I'm going to speak on the difference. Death is the most difficult problem that we face. Not a pleasant subject to think about. Wounds are deep when death takes loved ones. But this is a text of comfort, a text about the resurrection of the dead, and a text about the returning of Christ. Now, this text contrasts believers and unbelievers in death. Oh, friends, listen, I recall the many years that I was crying and wondering what in the world was going to happen to me. I knew I had a serious problem. No one seemed to have the answer, including preachers. But God led me to a preacher who knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that this book was God's unerring word. Friends, you can believe whatever you want. You can go to college and you can do this. But if you want the truth, you turn to the Word of God, because that's where you're going to find it. Now, the difference between hope and no hope is found in verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Well, what hope when a loved one dies? Remember me telling you when I, at my mother's funeral, I was 13 years old, I wept till there was no more tears because I didn't think I'd ever see my mom again. My mom was a Christian. I wasn't a Christian. But now that I'm born again, I know that I'll see my mother again, and I'll see my dad and my sisters and my two brothers. See, the Bible gives the answer. Death brings sorrow for those who remain. Yes. Something Christians do not sorrow. Of course we sorrow. Christians also grieve. Jesus wept at a grave. But there is a difference in sorrow felt by Christians. Now, our sorrow is tempered by God's promises. We know what He says in advance. We have hope for better things to come. Now, the Bible tells us departed Christians are in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Now, Apostle Paul, bless his heart, he wanted to go home to be with the Lord, but he knew that he had a job to do, and he wasn't going to renege on it. He fulfilled his obligation. Finally, they lopped off his head in that Roman prison. We will see our loved ones again, but the world has no such hope. You know, I've preached hundreds of funerals over the years. The hardest funeral there is for a preacher to preach is one of a man or a woman that were lost, doomed and damned on the road to hell. See, when I preach a sermon at a Christian's funeral, it's a really graduation day. That person's sorrows are over, their pains are over, their tears are over, and they're home with the Lord. The difference between believing and not believing is found in verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him, those who have lost their lives down through the ages, who loved the Lord and knew Jesus, will rise again. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. I'll tell you right now, there's some people that just sometimes wonder if Jesus rose. He sure did. You know, I get challenged quite a bit because I got a big mouth. I get challenged by people. How do you know, Mo? How do you know that Jesus is real? Well, I said, it's pretty simple to explain it to you because you're not too bright. But the Bible said, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, old things pass away. Behold, all things become as new. I got on my knees one morning at 5 o'clock, and I cried out to God and asked Him to forgive my wretched sins and to come into my heart. I said, I've been sober, sane, and happy ever since. Well, you got a point. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, faith brings hope. To believe is to trust or to rely upon. More than an intellectual agreement, it's with the heart. And I read in Romans 10:10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Beloved, one of the tragedies of this world, the Christians aren't confessing with their mouth. They just don't talk about Him. What is the problem? Do they really love Him? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. He said, we are to be witnesses. We're to win souls. We're to plant seed. Well, we're not doing it like we should. No hope apart from receiving Christ by faith. If you have not, let me tell you that, if you have not in your life ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit that you're lost, and you have never cried out to God to forgive your sins, you're lost, you're doomed, and you're damned, and you're on the road to hell. Thus saith the Lord. There's no doubt if we have become, He has become our personal Savior. Now, it's not Joe's Savior, it's my Savior. That's why we talk about a personal relationship to God. The difference between the first and second resurrection is that those of us who know Jesus will be the resurrected, but the second resurrection is the terrible one. That's when the unbelievers shall be resurrected, and they will appear at the great white throne, and they will be judged, and then they will be thrown into the fiery furnace. Oh, friends, why? Why would people gamble with that? Why will people gamble? You say, I'm not sure. Well, tonight you can be sure, because you can rest assured this guy, Cecil Moe, is going to give an invitation and going to invite you to put your trust in Jesus. That's my call. That's my job. What will happen when Jesus returns? I read in verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Just those who know Jesus will rise. They will be caught up to meet him. Living believers will be caught up. Unbelievers won't be caught up. All of us will have new bodies. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in the 42nd verse, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a living spirit. The spiritual do not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as it is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Oh, friends, listen. Listen to me. We will then be just like Jesus. And I read in 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not been yet made known. But we know when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall be like him. Oh, friends, we shall be like him. This is the first resurrection. And I read in Revelation 20 and 6, blessed and holy are those who have but part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Oh, friends, it gets better all the time. The resurrection of the unbelievers is a terrible thing. There's going to be the judgment at the great white throne. Friends, listen. If you're not saved tonight, if you're not born again, you are doomed and damned and lost. I can't overemphasize that. You say, Cecil, but I don't know if this is right. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you bow your head and say, God, help thou mine unbelief. The Lord wants you to go to heaven. He came to seek and to save that was lost. He doesn't want you to go to hell. You say, well, Cecil, listen to me. I can't love a God that will send a man to a burning hell. You are wrong. You are dead wrong. God sends nobody to hell. You send yourself to hell by refusing to receive God's only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you remember? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in my Father's house are many mansions. High stars in the morning, I don't understand that. But I guarantee you, I've never been in a mansion before, even though I'm going to marry someone in a castle here next week. A castle? Boy, oh boy. Well, friends, you know, I was thinking before I started broadcasting, I wonder how many people really care where they're going to spend eternity. I know you will when you stand there and the Lord tells you you can't get in. See, your name has to be written in the Lamb Book of Life. If it's not, you can't go. How do you get it written in there? When you're born again. When you ask Christ to forgive your sins and come into your heart and save you. Then your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Oh, beloved, He loves you tonight. He wants you to come to Him. You say, Cecil, you know I've had so much trouble, I've almost lost my faith. Oh, you can't lose your faith if you know Jesus. Faith in Christ makes all the difference. He gives hope and assures heaven to those of us who know Christ. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? You say, Cecil, I belong to a church and I got baptized. That doesn't mean anything, beloved. That doesn't mean a thing. Jesus said, ye must be born again. So you can be baptized and you can join 1,000 churches and you will miss heaven unless you've been born again. Well, friends, let me ask this. I'm going to close this out early today because I want to play a song that a lady wrote that was an alcoholic, was a drug addict, was a prostitute. I know her very well. She's worked with me in prisons. She's worked with me and my wife in rescue missions. But, dear friends, if you don't know Jesus tonight, you get a tugging at your old heart. You say, oh, I want to be sure. Now, you might have said you trusted the Lord years ago, but you're not sure. Ask the Holy Spirit to make it sure. Here's a prayer that you can pray that'll change your entire life. Now, don't pray it unless you mean it. Here's how it goes. Precious Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, and I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like to hear from you. My phone number is 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't do that. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. You say, Cecil, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about I'm a little confused. Call me. If you can't afford to make the call me collect. I really mean that because I'm really concerned. 303-471-8534.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on.
Friends, quite a few years ago, I was introduced to this lady when I was speaking at a big church, and I was introduced to her, and I talked to her a while, and someone said, this lady has a powerful testimony, and I said, well, let me hear it. Well, she said, Cecil, I was married, and I had four beautiful children, a wonderful husband, and I had a toothache, and this dentist gave her some, pulled her tooth and gave her some pain medicine. Well, she got hooked on it. She lost her husband. She lost her children. She started drinking and doing drugs down in Skid Row here in Denver, Colorado. She got into prostitution to cover her drug problem. And I mean, this woman went through a living hell. And then one day, somebody got a hold of her and told her the wonderful story about Jesus. Well, since that lady accepted Christ, she, I don't know how many hundreds of songs she's written, but it's been a lot, and she's in demand everywhere. My wife and I have taken her to penitentiary several times. I've taken her to boys' reform schools. I've taken her to the rescue mission, and she always is a top hit wherever she goes. Anyway, I want you to, her name is Winna. I want you to listen to this song that she wrote. It'll touch your heart. Thank you, Winna, for that beautiful song. Oh, it just touches my heart. If you'd ever get to see her, know her, and to see her sing, you'll see that Jesus really shows through her. Oh, my, yes. I've been blessed by having so many wonderful singers work with me in quartets. It's been such a joy. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Please pray for my wife and I because we're having some health problems, but we know that God knows all about it, and He'll take care of us. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.